Good morning and welcome to the Marcus Today Breakfast Briefing. My name is Henry Jennings. It is Thursday, the 2nd of June. And as usual, with all the information contained in this briefing, it is general advice only, so please do your own research. Contact your own financial advisor regarding any of the thoughts, ideas or insights in this briefing. And if you need to, of course, you can always head on over to marcustoday.com.au. If you're listening to this on a podcast, wherever you are in this wonderful world of ours, and there's lots of other goodies, of course, you can catch up on the Marcus Today website as well. All right, well, we had another weak and flippy-floppy night on the US markets. The Dow closing down 177 points, or just over 0.5%. Did have a low down 400-odd points, 405, and a high of 282, so kind of slip-slopping into the close. Unfortunately, we did have some comments from Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan as well, talking about the economy and the hurricane coming. This was actually an update to last week's commentary, where he saw that things weren't as bad as some were predicting. So a bit of a flip-flop there on the weather forecast from Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan. So down 0.5% on the Dow. We saw the Nasdaq down 0.72%, 87 points to 11,994, just slipping below that 12,000 level. And the S&P 500 was down 31 points or 0.75, not the middle for diddle as usual, but actually worse than the other two indices, 41.01. And the VIX index and all this negativity, though, managed to lose a point, down 1.91%. So a little bit of negativity in the VIX as well. SPY futures on the back of all this showing a loss of 55 points or 0.76%. Of course, yesterday we had a bit of a rise of 23 points. Late surge in our market. Yesterday the banks doing very well. Yesterday up around 1.7% on that big bank basket. That really helped our index as resources had a bit of a tough day at the office. So be interesting to see how our market behaves today, but certainly weakness early, and we'll see if we can pick ourselves up off the floor, but we'll wait and see. In terms of commodities last night, oil prices still bubbling away. OPEC Plus meeting on Thursday in another virtual meeting for them, but Brent crude up 69 cents or 0.6%, $116.29 US a barrel. WTI up 59 cents or 0.51%, $115.26 US a barrel. Oil price was one of the winners, but gold slightly higher, 30 cents higher, 1848.70. Iron ore also doing well, up $1.83 or 1.37% to 135.34. The Aussie dollar 71.74. Other commodities, we have copper, which was up 0.3, nickel down 1.2, aluminium down 2.4, zinc down 0.8, lead down 0.5, tin up 0.5%. In overseas, international miners were a little bit mixed, to say the least. We had BHP up 1.3% in ADR terms, Rio down 0.3%, Freeport-McMoRan up 1.4%, Alcoa up 1.1%, Teck down 4.9%, Anglo down 1%, Glencore up 0.3%, Vale up 1.6%, and Albemarle taking it badly again. They were down 3-odd percent the previous day, 7.8% down overnight as well. So no good news there. As far as the US market goes, here you can see the chart of the S&P 500. A bit of a swoon, maybe Jamie Dimon's comments there. Not really helpful talking about that hurricane approaching the US economy, given that it was the official start of US hurricane season, as well as US driving season kicking off. It seemed an appropriate commentary. But we did also see, once again, the various different Fed heads out and about talking about interest rates in the economy. It's enough to sap anyone's enthusiasm for the market at the moment. And we did see also US job openings falling to 11.4 million, which was down from 11.9 million. But still, the US economy is not as hot as it was, but it's still pretty hot. And that obviously plays into the narrative that the Fed will have to go harder earlier in terms of their rate increases. And of course, the other thing that the market is now looking at as well is not only the rate rises that are coming, but also the shrinking of the Fed balance sheet, which does take some liquidity out of the market, which has been pumped in for many a long year now. So that is certainly something to keep an eye on there. And there is a risk, of course, that the US central bank does lose control over the inflation narrative. So plenty of talk last night from Fed chiefs. And the Bank of Canada also raised rates by 50 basis points. I'm sure the RBA will be looking at that. The Canadian economy, similar to ours in many respects, in terms of its resource focus. So Bank of Canada up 50 basis points. Of course, we have the June RBA meeting next week. Major stories, the US stocks decline as data shows still hot economy. So a hot economy means rate rises and more aggressive rate rises. But yes, all those fears of recession, we're either fearing recession or fearing rate rises or actually fearing both. So that is a concern. Several strategists now say last week's S&P 500 gains were a head fake before further declines. And the Atlanta Fed President Bozdik says his September pause comments should not be construed as a Fed put. It's hard to know who to listen to with all these Fed heads out and about. The ECB's Holzman, whoever he may be, says 50 basis point hike needed to contain record inflation. Bear in mind that the ECB still has negative interest rates while the European Union's inflation rate is hitting highs never seen before in official data for the region. And the Bank of Japan's Wakatabe says external cost push inflation should be addressed outside of monetary policy. Now there's a thought. Chinese factory output shrinks at a slower pace, but manufacturers still impacted by weak external demand, and Asian manufacturers weighed down by China's COVID lockdowns and supply chain disruptions and elevated inflation. UK manufacturing, I didn't think there was such a thing, expands at the weakest rate in 16 months in May, and South Korea's export beats consensus, suggesting global demand remains resilient. Despite Ukraine war and China lockdowns, no wonder the world is such a confused place at the moment. So many pieces of data pointing in one direction and then equally lots of data pointing in completely the opposite direction. And Russia cuts off gas to more European buyers, including Germany, Denmark and Netherlands. Let's face it, the oil price is not going down in a hurry unless Russia stops its war in Ukraine. Yellen admits wrong call on inflation due to unforeseen impact of new COVID variants. Yellen got it wrong, as did all the central bank people in the US. And Shanghai has formally ended the two-month lockdown. In our market today, just looking overseas to some of the other markets, we had the stocks 50 in Europe down 0.8, FTSE down 1, CAC down 0.8, DAC down 0.3. So we are seeing that negativity back in session, back in the house, and that will obviously affect us today with a 55 point fall on the Aussie futures market after that 23 point gain yesterday. Commodities will probably be a little bit on the nose again. Depends what we see in the banking sector, as they are such a massive part of our index. 10-year yields in the US pushing back up towards that 3 level again, 2.91. Australia 3.41, had a bit of a move yesterday, and Germany 1.18. So we're certainly going to be seeing some ECB rate rises in the market, taking that into account. Woodside, WDS, the new code for that one. There was a placement last night at $29.15 for around $1 billion worth of Woodside shares. This is the shares that BHP transferred across for new holders to get their Woodside allocation, but they didn't want to hold Woodside. So instead of having a drip feed into the market, they have corralled them into one big trade and done that at a 3.4% discount. So that does take a little bit of pressure off Woodside, which was around and about there. The S&P said it has cut its rating on BHP Group to A- from A after the completion of the Woodside Petroleum merger. Nothing really too drastic to get excited about. And Fitch Solutions has lifted its price pretty modestly, really. Price forecast for the steelmaking material iron ore for 2022 by $10 to $130 a ton. And the ASX has appointed Helen Lofthouse as its new CEO. Of course, one of the challenges that Ms. Lofthouse has to address is that move of the chess system over to blockchain, which has cost more, taken longer, and doesn't seem to be really a happening thing at the moment. So that is a new appointment. She was an internal appointment, my old mucker, Damien Roach, the ASX chairman now. Headed over to New York to interview a overseas customer, overseas client, and overseas potential candidate. But all the time, Helen Lofthouse was with the ASX, so she has been an internal appointment. Wesfarmers Investor Day today. It expects inventory levels in the second half of the fiscal year to remain elevated due to API, which is their recent purchase, inflation and commodity price impacts, and ongoing prioritization of stock availability. Qantas has upgraded to a buy with a price target of $6.75. And Canva, this is an interesting one. Canva investor Franklin, who put some money into the last round of funding for the Aussie unicorn Canva, Franklin has slashed its valuation by 58.5%. Canva was valued at the last set of funding at around $40 billion. Now that valuation, according to Franklin at least, and of course Canva is unlisted, now maybe around $16 billion. So a big fall in valuation there. Of course, it is all irrelevant to some extent until it is traded on the market or there is some sort of liquidity event, another funding round where it gets valued again, or there is some sort of corporate action there. The US military has chipped in to help Joe Biden get more infant formula to the Americans at the moment, and they're flying in Bubs infant formula to both the West and East Coast, with Pennsylvania and California on the cards for shipments of Bub infant formula. And IGO, quietly yesterday during all the lithium rout, has won the hand of Western Areas. And a lithium project, Talking Lithium, of Bald Hill, which was mothballed some years ago because of low lithium prices, could be back in play. US company Austroid Corp is going to be testing the FIRB, a couple of tests there for new Treasurer Jim Chalmers on the Foreign Investment Review Board coming up. And Bald Hill in this lithium project could be one of those with Austroid Corp. Of course, the other one is Yancoal, which is under takeover threat from its Chinese majority owner there at a discount to the price, although that discount is rapidly being eroded because the share price of Yancoal is falling. All right, question of the day today. It's a pretty simple one. Yesterday we saw some massive falls in the lithium price. Well, the lithium stocks, not so much the lithium price, but certainly in the lithium stocks. It was a confluence of three things. It was a perfect storm, and I've written about that today in Henry's Take. But the question of the day is the party over for lithium stocks, or are we still on track for a party for lithium stocks? But this just could be the party interrupted for the time being before we get going again. So I'd like to hear your views on that. I have my own views on that, and certainly something I've written about today in Henry's Take as far as the party for lithium stocks. But yesterday, of course, big crashes in some of the stocks like Pilbara, Core Lithium, etc., all falling nearly 20% on over in some places. So a big, big crash yesterday in lithium stocks, very depressed. But is the party over for lithium stocks? Well, that's it from me today. Thanks very much for listening. You can head on over to the Facebook discussion group as always. Well, as usual, it's a pretty well-moderated group. Sometimes things slip through, but that's the life of a Facebook moderator. But there's 3,500 plus members there. Members helping members is our motto. And if you're listening to this on a podcast, we've got three other wonderful podcasts, streams that you can listen to. There's the Marcus Strategy podcast, which is our fly on the wall morning meeting podcast. The On the Desk podcast with a team in Melbourne. Talk about things financial and things that are interesting them and that have made their way across their desks. And my On the Couch podcast last week, I interviewed Greg Hall from Alligator Energy on the uranium market and why Alligator Energy stacks up. But that's it from me today. Thanks very much for listening. Have a great day, and may the trading gods be with you.